We're happy to be back again, and truly it's a blessing to be here. This past weeks have been a roller coaster ride for me and my family. But we can never thank God enough for giving us a wonderful baby. Today, I would like to make a follow-up to my previous sermon a few months ago. And I have titled it, How Can We Have Faith That Makes a Difference? Let me begin by reading verse 8, because I believe we can find something here we desire for our lives. That would be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul said, The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Who wouldn't want that kind of faith that Paul mentions here? A kind of faith that rings out or becomes known everywhere. Who would want that kind of faith that makes a difference in people's lives? But the question is, how do I get there? For many of us, it seems so far away. Have you ever tried playing a video game? It feels like level 100 of a video game, where we even can't figure out level 1. And because of that, we fall to that danger. That danger is that we become a fake. I know I can't get there, but I want to make a difference in my life. So, I'll fake it. Church, we don't have to fake it. God has a process of growth in every one of our lives. It may take time, but it's also guaranteed by a Spirit in our lives. We cannot, let me repeat that, we cannot short-circuit the process by trying to go too fast or by faking it. But when we put our faith in God, in the process of our lives, He grows us so that we could be someone who can have faith that makes a difference. So for that young church of Thessalonica, what's that process that enabled them to have a faith that makes a difference. For this church, we call CCCNJ. What processes can we learn from the church at Thessalonica? Let me go back to verses 5. Paul, verses 5 and 6, Paul said, "You know how we live among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and the Lord." Paul said that they became imitators. Can we repeat that? Can we say imitators? I believe there is truth in this. If you want to have faith that makes a difference, then it starts by becoming an imitator of Christ and those who follow Him. Amen? But you might be thinking, wait, didn't you say we weren't supposed to be fakes? So why imitate? You know what? One of the blessings of parenthood is when your child begins to show new skills. We discovered that with our baby Elena, even though she's just 6 weeks old, we are happy to note new skills every day. For example, whenever we would talk to her, she would sometimes, you know, open her eyes very wide, and she would open her mouth very wide, you know, as in awe, like this. Then she would move her mouth and her tongue, small tongue, you know, as if she was trying to imitate us. When we smile close to her, she would also smile. And that melts her heart. We are told that this is a good sign as she is learning through us that communication must involve the moving of lips with sound as well as expressions. So eventually, through us, she would learn how to speak. What if I say we should stop talking to her and let her develop her own communication skills? Or what if we even stop modeling things for her as she grows and let her develop her own skills and character out of nothing? This sounds absurd, isn't it? Church, when it comes to living the faith God that God calls us, He doesn't call us and starts from scratch. God doesn't leave us clueless. God has given us a blueprint in Christ.
神把一个蓝图放在我们身上,
So that through Him, we can have a pattern or model for our lives. It is also for this reason why God has surrounded us with people who would model Christ for us. So that through them, we can also learn to live the Christian life. Amen? And what I would say to you is, don't fake it, but imitate. So what's the difference then? To fake is to pretend something that you're not. But to imitate is to intentionally model your actions after someone else. Without a model, you will not get anywhere. Sometimes there is this false notion that through my own energy, I'm going to figure things out by myself. But Paul says, it just doesn't work that way. I imitated Christ, and now you imitate me. That's what it's saying to the church of Thessalonica. We just need to have someone to model for us how to live the life God has given us to live. Someone has to show us, so we drop our pride and fear. Because as we learn from them, we'll quickly develop our own style. And eventually, our own personality will shine through. So, the idea of imitating others makes us fake is just not true. Well, how do you learn to pray? You listen to someone who genuinely prays to God. And then you begin by imitating that. But then your own personality will eventually shine through. There is a big difference between a fake and an imitator. A fake acts out as if they got it all figured out. But the one who imitates says, I need someone else to show me how. Church, sometimes you will be asked this question. If you die tonight, are you sure you're going to heaven? While the question is legitimate, what if I change that question and ask you instead this? What if... What if you don't die tonight? What if you get to live tomorrow? What if you get to live 1 week from now? Or what if you get to live 10 more years? Or what if you get to live 40 more years? Listen to this carefully. How are you going to live your life if you're not going to die tonight? Church, hear this. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is not salvation. That is just the beginning. We don't go to church or attend church activities because we want to have a reservation in heaven. Church, the purpose of our being here is because God wants to transform us. And that transformation begins once we decide to imitate Christ as revealed in the Bible and as He is lived out in the lives of those who follow Him. So if you want to have faith that makes a difference, first, you become imitators of Christ. And now second, we find it in verse 6. Paul said, in spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Friends, we are called to welcome the message. Can we say that? Welcome the message. Let God's message be in the front door of your life. Amen? Welcome it. Don't keep it in the porch and consider whether you will welcome it or not. And here's the best part to this. Paul says, you welcome it in spite of suffering. So if you're going to do anything good and holy, it should be in spite of the circumstances. If you think God's going to give you perfect circumstances in order to serve Him well, then we haven't read our Bible yet. There's not one person of faith in the Bible who had perfect circumstances. No, they all go to the same circumstances that everyone goes through, and sometimes even worse. In the case of the Thessalonians, they were being persecuted and others were looking down upon them. Because of their faith in Christ. But the important element here is not just the suffering. Paul says, in spite of suffering, you welcome the message with joy. You welcome the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Circumstances are on the outside, but joy is in the inside. Amen? So when I listen to what the Spirit has to say, I'm going to welcome it with joy. Joy from the Holy Spirit. So the question is, what message from God do I not want to let in? Every day we are bombarded with messages. In your telephone, you have voicemail. You have fax messages. You go to work in the morning, and the first thing you do is open your email. And then you see that your inbox has 50 new messages. You look at the subject heading. You see if it's relevant or not. You decide which message you'll act on or ignore. Aren't we sometimes selective of the messages we receive from God? This one's for me. But no, not, this one's not for me. Maybe it's frightening to you because you feel like you can never leave out that message. So you just, put it in the trash folder. Or you fear that the changes the message is suggesting might ruin your life. Church, let me assure you this. God is not out to ruin our lives. He wants us to bring joy, joy everlasting. So let me ask you this. What message you don't want to let in? It is my prayer that you welcome with joy whatever God's message for you in spite of your circumstances. So what's the process of change that happened to the Thessalonian church? Well, first, they became imitators. And second, they welcomed the message. And because of those two things, according to Paul, in verse 7, what happened to them? And so, you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Just like the Thessalonians, we are called to become a model. Church, I look at this room and I see people. But as I see people, I also see models. Can you look at the person beside you and say, congratulations? We are models whether we like it or not. We sometimes have this notion that the Christian life, as mentioned earlier, or our business as Christians, is all about saving people. So we get this wrong, incomplete notion that all we need to do as a church is to evangelize people so that people will accept Christ and then they will go to heaven. Period. Mission accomplished. Again, let me assure you that is a legitimate thing to do, saving people. Let me make it clear that we need to do that. But in reality, let us also make it clear that we miss the point when we only emphasize that thing. Listen to this carefully. We are not called merely to save people. But instead, we are called to be transformers. Let me repeat that. We are not merely called to save people. We are called to be transformers. We are called to change the world. And you know how that starts? It starts through you. It begins once you model Christ to others. I have to admit that a lot of people stumble at this. They're willing to learn, they're willing to welcome the message, but they're not willing to model Christ to others. They're afraid of the responsibility of becoming a model for others. So they never allow themselves to move to that place where they can influence others. But here's the thing. They don't realize that we are all models whether we like it or not. Why? Because people are watching. And if you decide to put some face of false humility and refuse to be a model of faith, I'm very humble, so you know, I don't want to call myself a model, you know. And you're actually modeling that. And there will be people who will follow you in that notion. It's frightening. I'm a model of faith, someone else. We all know that we're not perfect. We all know that we have sinned and still have some failings and imperfections, even as we proclaim to be believers in Christ. But friends, God is not looking for perfect models. Instead, He's looking for people who are broken. Can we say that broken? Imagine a jar broken into pieces and then glued back together again. It's ugly, it has cracks and small holes. Here and there. But what happens when you put a candle inside of it? The light emanates through the cracks and the holes. And what is once ugly becomes a beautiful sight. Church, that is what God is looking for all, for in all of us. Because it is through those cracks and holes that His light is revealed. Friends, imitate, welcome, and model. That's a simple process. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the challenge to imitate You, to live like Your live life, at first glance seems so huge. And yet when we read Your word, we realize that You've given us a church. You've given us a small group and others around us that could help us learn and grow. Lord, help us to imitate You as we see You revealed, not only through the Bible, but also through the lives of those who follow You. And Lord, as much as we follow You, help us to offer ourselves to model You to others. Lord, in this moment, we welcome Your message into our lives. And if there's a place that we prevent Your message and Your direction, God, God, give us the courage . Give me the courage to open the door. Lord, I don't know, but I open the door and welcome what You want to do in my life. Welcome, Jesus Christ. In Your name. Amen.